When I finished the last section, I really remember this moment. It was Ina Wilde. She came and said, "Hey, Theresa, you win." And I was over the moon. I couldn't say anything in this moment, but I really remember this moment. Yeah, it was the biggest challenge was definitely the brain tumor in 2019. And I learned from it that there's more than only success in the sport. And they are more important, like family and especially health is so important in life.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of the Trials Australia podcast. I'm your host, David Grice. If this is your first time here, welcome. The Trials Australia podcast is a global initiative and we regularly speak to current and former champion riders, local club riders, administrators, event organisers from all around the world, anyone who really has a current or former involvement in the sport of trials. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love you to share it with your friends. You can subscribe through your favourite podcasting app and all episodes will be automatically delivered to your device. Also, you don't need to wait for each episode to connect with us. Pop over and join the Facebook group. Search Facebook for Trials Australia Podcast Community and come and join the discussion. This week, you'll find some follow-up materials from our last chat, episode 101 with Bill DeGaris, and some photo evidence of his Scottish six-day attempt and what it's like travelling with a bike in your luggage. We also have a YouTube channel for those who are curious, and we'll be filling that out with content as we go. This episode is sponsored by GasGas. GasGas are excited to announce that they have a special rebate running on their 2022 bikes. The 2022 TXT racing bikes are available in 125, 250 and 300cc capacities. GasGas continue to refine these bikes and the new models are no exception. They come with an Ohlins rear shock, Tech forks, BrakeTech brakes, Kine carburetor, one-piece aluminium swing arm, Michelin tyres, and of course, that renowned class-leading GasGas clutch. In Australia, all of the 2022 models come with a $1,500 factory rebate. And stay tuned for a bit later in the podcast when we tell you about the even deeper discounts on the 2021 models. We are a global podcast, so please inquire through your local dealer. However, here in Australia, the GasGas Trials dealers are the Hell Team, Revolution Trials, PTR Trials, Moto Dynamics, and Rock Hopping SA. This episode is also sponsored by the Hell Team. I hope you enjoyed episode 98 with Paul Arnott, the man behind the Hell Team. The Hell Team are not just GasGas dealers, they are also the Australian importers of TRS and dealers for Beta. As a result of supporting so many brands, they have a really broad range of parts and accessories for all makes of bikes. My last purchase with them was a set of Apico Flexi levers and a higher Newton meter Ryga shock for the rear of my bike. I wasn't quite sure what Newton meters to get for my rear shock, so I rang Paul at the Hell Team and he was able to offer over the phone help and could provide guidance around which spring to get that was suited for me based on my bike, my weight and my ability. All of this was then shipped in short order. They've also got great tech support pages on their website for owner's manuals, tech tips and plenty of other useful information. Check them out at The Hell Team, www.thehellteam.com. I am really pleased that I got to speak with German trials rider Theresa Boimel on this episode of the podcast. It's been far too long since chatting with a German rider, and so this was a great opportunity to also get into not only the German trial scene, but the women's trial scene as well. Theresa is a successful trials rider across the German Championships, European Championships, and also a winner of a Trial GP event. And I'm really not kidding about that success. From 2015 to 2019, Theresa was German champion. She won the European Championships in 2015 and 2016, and she was the winner of the Italian Trial GP in 2017. Theresa opens up as to why her results have dropped off in recent years, and you may be shocked, as I certainly was, to discover that she'd been diagnosed with a brain tumour that had required multiple surgeries. Although the worst is behind her, we still get the sense that there's some after effects. And as a result of all this, she hasn't been riding much as well, with COVID stifling the ability to return to competition. All this, though, has given her a renewed lease on life and a great deal of perspective that there is more in the world than just trials and to really value your health and well-being. I'm still amazed at Theresa's courage and I can't wait to see her back on the bike sometime soon. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my chat with German trials rider Theresa Boimel. Teresa Boimel, welcome to the Trials Australia podcast.
Hello, thank you. It's great to be here.
I haven't been to or spoken to a German guest for a while. I think the last one was Franzi Kadlec in the first few episodes of my podcast. So it's nice to get back and speak to a German writer.
Thank you. I think we should change this.
Yes, yes. I'm interested to understand a bit more about women's trial as well, because you're a woman that's done TDN, that's done the Europeans, that's done the German Championship, that's done the World Championship, and been quite successful along the way. So I think you've got a lot of insight to give us, and I'd really love to hear more about your story. It is kind of protocol, though, to go back and find out where it all began. So would you mind just taking us through some of your origins of how you got started in trials? And was it always trials, or did you have other motorcycling at the start?
For the motorsport, I only did trials. But when I was young, I did a lot of other sports.
Okay. Yep. What was your sport of choice growing up if it wasn't motorcycles?
I did in the school a lot, like rope skipping. I played football. Yep. I think I did everything.
Awesome. So when did you get your first chance at riding a motorcycle?
I was in the age of 6.
Okay. Oh, wow. Was it encouraged by your parents? Was this a sport your parents did themselves and you just went along with them? Or was it something that you saw and thought, no, I want to try it?
No, my father gave me the passion. My father, two uncles rode trials when I was young and I saw them riding. So I decided myself that I have to try this.
Awesome. So were they like super competitive, or were they just like clubmen sort of riders, or did they not compete? Like how did they, what was their experience with the sport?
My father was successful, but in Germany. He rode the German Championship quite good, but not the top class.
Okay. Okay. But so you've had some exposure to the sport growing up. And so what was your first bike? Where did you start?
I started on a Beta 50 CCM.
Yep. Oh, fantastic. And is it still in the garage today, or is it a distant memory?
No, I don't have this anymore.
Yeah, we speak to some people who can't get rid of bikes. So I had to ask. So when you were starting out, was there other kids your age in the German scene, in the competitions? And obviously, you would have started out doing local trials, I'm guessing.
Yes, yes. First local trials. And we were a group of, I think, 3 or 4 little children. And it was fun to practice together.
Yeah, okay. Is it far? Do you live in near the countryside, or are you more city-based?
I have a training area 2 minutes from my home.
Really? That's unreal. I don't know about you, but I'd struggle to leave the place sometimes if I had a training area so close.
Yeah, it's a little area, but for training and keep the hours on the bike, it's perfect.
So who was your inspiration early on? Did you just do it because it was fun, or were you going, oh, I like, you know, you started looking at some of the better riders going, I want to do that?
I think it was my dad. I just saw him riding and decided I have to try it myself. And it was so cool with the body movement in comparison with the technique and the suspension, the power of the bike. It just inspired me. And for me, it was sure I will do it and it was fun. So I decided to keep and train more and more.
Any brothers or sisters that get involved, or were you really the,
yes,
the main?
Yes, I started together with my 2 years older sister, but she practiced a few hours with me and the other kids, but then decided to go to the horse riding.
Aha, okay. Nice, nice. And when for you did trials start to get serious? Like when did you think, oh, I'm really, that competitive spirit started to arrive?
Maybe it was in the third class. I played a lot of football and doing the trials. Then I decided, okay, let's do one sport, but this sport I spent more time. So I decided, okay, I will stop playing football and start riding trials more intense. And maybe this was a point where it was sure, okay, if I ride trials, I will do it more than just a little sport and just a hobby. So I think this was a important point in my life.
Yeah, so that dropping of another interest with the intent to just focus on trials is, yeah, definitely, it sounds a reasonable time. Did you have did you know back then, though, when you made that decision, did you know you'd go on to be riding world championships? Had that thought even crossed your mind at that point?
No, honestly, it was a difficult decision. It was hard for me to say I don't want to play any more football because I had friends and we could play together. My schoolmates played also football, so it wasn't easy and I wasn't sure if this was the right decision, but now I can say, yes, it was right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So as I hinted at, you went on to quite a big degree of success. I think if I look back over some of your results, you managed to achieve in 2015 the first German women's championship and at the same time European as well. So you must have progressed quite a long way since those early days. Just take me through those first few years of serious competition and what were some of the sort of ups and downs of it?
The German Championship, I remember really well. It always is like a real battle and it wasn't easy to be on the podium, but then there was the time I was on the podium and then it was sure, okay, I will be not only on the podium, I will be on the top of the podium. And yep. I really remember 2014. It was so close with the win. It was Ina Wilde and she's a really strange or like a tough competitor. And we were so close who got the title for the championship. And I think it was the last race and the last round. We were on the same points and it was so close. But in this year, I lose the championship. So it was clear for me, 2015, I will win. Or this is my goal that I want to win the championship. And yeah, then I was more than happy that 2015, I managed this.
Yeah. And that's that going into the last round and losing it in the last round, that must be, yes, you get that competitive juices flowing. So congratulations on that because yeah, it must be nice to win your national sort of title in 2015. But looking back through your results, you were competing in Europe, competing in the German titles as early as 2011. So there were a few years there where you were like building up to this. It wasn't all at once. It took a couple of years.
Yes, it took a couple of years. And my father saw that it's important to take part at many races. So I started to take part at races very early, like Belgium races. I don't know where we all take part at races, but it were a lot of races where I took part. So this was good. And I got the experience and this helped me much.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at a sort of table of your results and it just, especially in the Europeans, you really just kept climbing and the worlds as well. When did you decide that you were going to start on a campaign of the full women's championship? Because obviously you've got some of those rounds that may be further to travel or there's a congestion with the schedule. Do you remember that conversation around the dinner table? I really want to have a go at the world championships.
I don't know exactly, but I remember I wanted to start riding the world championship and there was a minimum age, I think 12 or 14. I think it was 12 and I was not old enough. So for my father and me, it was clear when I'm old enough, I will try and take part of the world championship.
Oh, wow. So you decided even before you were eligible to do it, that this is something you wanted to do.
Yes, now, right.
This wasn't when they had a women's trial two class. There was just one big women's class. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. Only one class. Okay.
All right. And so how did you, reflecting on someone who rides the women's championship now where they've got trial two and trial GP, how did the sections compare to today back then when you started? Did they have a middle ground or was it more like the trial GP line that you ride now?
Yes, this is a good question. For me at the beginning, it was just to finish the section with a three, for example, because the sections were quite difficult for me as a little children. So I'm not sure, but I think the sections were like trial GP class now.
Wow. Okay. So
What the FIM have introduced with Trial 2 is a step-down version of the Trial GP class than what used to be when you started. Now it's much more differentiated.
Yeah, I would say it allows maybe younger women to start taking part at the World Championship.
And tell me about your first TDN. That must have been nice to be nominated and riding for your country in 2012. And you guys did all right as well, I think.
Yes, I remember this. Well, it was 2012 and I was the age of 14. And I couldn't believe that with 14, I'm chosen for the Trial de Nation Team Germany. And it was fantastic. When I saw the results, okay, I think I was third in this time. And it was fantastic when I heard, okay, you can ride the TDN. And it was, yeah, just unbelievable and great. It's a really cool event.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You guys in Team Germany had a bit of success. I think you were on the podium. I'm looking at these results quite a number of times that you've represented your country. And in 2015, you got as high as second. Congratulations. That's an awesome resume.
Yes, thank you. And it's not only awesome results. I think we as the three women who took part in the team, we are so good friends, not only competitors in the German Championship and World Championship. And this is the thing what made it great, I think. Because, yeah, being a friend and riding together, it's just unbelievable.
A lot of people I've spoken with actually kind of like that chilled out environment that the TDN provides. But I always ask myself, how would I go from being a competitor against a teammate to then a teammate the next day? Because sometimes you're competing against them. I know trials is a bit more of an individual sport where you're really competing against yourself in the section. It's just everyone I talk to loves the dynamic.
Yes, yes. Normally we ride for ourselves. We are, I don't know, word single rider.
Yeah.
We are not team competitors. And this makes it interesting that we normally ride for ourselves and now have like the team structure. And this makes it so great, I would say.
So tell me about like the way the TDN team works. Is it, do you guys train together throughout the year? I've spoken to Sondra Hager and he's told me about how, say, there's like a whole camp and academy around developing Norwegian trials and how you get on the youth program and then you work your way up to the TDN. How does it work in Germany? Is there anything like that type of academy?
Unfortunately, we don't have this academy. We are the team at the TDN, but before we don't have some trainings together. Okay. We only meet ourselves, but our federation don't do like a training camp only for the TDN team.
I am curious about this sort of dynamic with trials in Germany because, you know, how is trials a sport that Germans are actively participating in? Is, as we're coming out of these COVID times, is trials a sport that's doing well at a club level in Germany?
Honestly, with Corona, Germany is quite strict. So there we had many problems with riding. And yeah, but in the moment, I think we also have the problem that we are missing young riders who are coming up. So if there aren't young riders, I think for the future, it's difficult to see many German riders in, for example, the World Championship.
Do you think that's a function of the lack of youth because there's a lack of youth bikes available? Or do you think there's other reasons as to why they're doing it? Is there other sports that are more attractive for kids to be doing?
There are maybe other sports who are more attractive. I think because of the time you have to spend when you ride trial. For example, when little children start trial, you have to buy a bike, the clothes and everything. And this is so much for the parents, I think. So it's more easier to give the child in the football club. And yeah.
Yeah, so of course.
For the parents, yep. It's much more easier.
What about access to public land to ride? Is there how strict is it in Germany? Is that becoming a problem as well, where you can train and where you can ride?
Yeah, Germany is in everything. Germany is strict. We only have some areas where we can practice, and it's not allowed to ride in the forest. It's, yeah, you get problems with the police.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And but that doesn't impact you. You've got an area where you can train. Obviously, we talked about at the start where you've got somewhere. But is that enough now? Someone at your level, is that little training area got enough to help still grow your skill set?
It's enough to get hours on the bike. But when I see the areas of the world championship, it's not enough. So I have to find some areas where I can practice some different kinds of, because this little area, don't have so much opportunities.
We briefly interrupt this conversation to remind you that this episode is sponsored by GasGas. GasGas are offering exceptional value on the 2022 bikes with $1,500 factory rebates while stocks last. They're available in 125, 250 and 300cc capacities. Again, that's $1,500 factory rebates while stocks last on all remaining 2022 stock. And if that wasn't enough, for any 2021 bikes, there is now a $2,500, yes, you heard that correct, $2,500 factory rebate on any remaining 21 bikes, making them absolutely fantastic value. Please contact your local GasGas dealer. Now back to our conversation.
I can't escape the fact that I am talking to a trial GP winner here. So you won the Italian GP in 2017, and you're also in 2016, the European women's champion as well. You've had a bit of success in this sport. Which one is the most memorable for you, the championship in Europe or the single event in Italy in 2017?
It is definitely the single event at the Trial GP Italy.
Okay. All right. And take me through that. Did you know going in that event that you were a chance, or were you as shocked to end up on the top step?
I come to the last event, the Trial GP Italy, and I had one goal, and this goal is to keep the third place because I was third in the standings. So for me it was sure be third at the end of the championship. And then I remember I came in the last section and I didn't know the results so far. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. I know that I had a really good last lap. It was fantastic. I had a really good score. And I came in the last section and I was a bit nervous because I thought, okay, it would be enough for the third place. But you don't know what the others did. And when I finished the last section, I really remember this moment. It was Ina Wilde. She came and said, "Hey, Teresa, you win." And I was over the moon. I couldn't say anything in this moment, but I really remember this moment.
Listeners cannot see the smile that I can through the camera, but this is awesome. Yeah, I'm just smiling hearing you tell this story. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
How close was it at the end? I don't have access to the scores, but was it a close margin at the end of the day?
I think at the end, it didn't was so close because my last lap was so fantastic that I see the result and it was sure, you win. And I think the other riders were finished. So I was the last one or like the last one who could win.
Ah, right.
And so it was sure with the last section. Yeah, it was sure that I win and it was fantastic.
Oh, that's great. So obviously with COVID the last couple of years, you would have had some time away from the sport competing at the world championships. There's a bit of a gap in the results that I'm looking at. Are you looking forward to getting back to it? And what about your return to the sport post-COVID? What are your plans?
Yeah, for me, it was difficult in the year 2019. I don't know if everyone knows it, but 2019, I had a brain tumor and this interrupted everything. God. Yeah, it was very difficult. And now after the operation, everything is good, but everything is different. And for me, it's hard to come back. And then there comes Corona. So since 2019, I have a completely different year because I wanted to come back. Then I had health problems again with the head. And it's not easy this time, I have to say.
That's amazing. I didn't expect to be discussing this on a podcast, something so serious as a brain tumor. I take it you're okay and the prognosis from the doctors is good and there's no major after effects?
No, thanks. I'm okay. It was a good one and this was important, but there were some problems after the operation. There are some problems with the liquid in the head. So I had another operation and now I had, too many operations on the head and this.
Yeah.
Every time it takes you back and this is stupid. When you want to practice, you prepare yourself and then, oof, health problems. Yeah, this is hard to understand, to accept.
Yeah. One thing you said there was everything's a bit different. How is your function, your, cognition, your brain, is your health 100% like it was, or are there any after effects from the surgery and the tumor?
It's different, I have to say. The perception of the environment, it's hard to describe, but it's different.
Okay.
And from me, I find out that the problem is not that it's different, bad or better, but when you have something different, we human are like to have it like usual. And when something is different, it's totally strange for the body, for the head.
Okay. So there was an adjustment period, but it's not necessarily anything that's going to stop you competing other than coronavirus. There's nothing stopping you returning to trials?
I will try to come back, but I think next year I will focus on national championship because I have to get like a routine in the sports year.
Yeah, okay. So your disruption is bigger than just COVID, but you're going to return with a focus on the German championship. I wish you all the best in that. And I had a question for you, and that was, what do you think is your superpower? What is one thing that you're good at, maybe better than anyone else?
Yeah, I would say it's the mental strength. When I look back at the TrailGP race where I won the TrailGP race, I would say it's the mental strength that helped me a lot. And this is, maybe a bit better than other riders.
So look out is all I can say in the trial riders of Germany. that's fantastic. Are you a goal-oriented person? Are you the sort of person to set yourself targets throughout a year? And is that how you operate?
Yes, definitely. I think you have to do the goals, that you have something which you want to reach. But it's also important not to set the goals too high.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so your goal for next year would be to resume competition and try and compete all at the events rather than necessarily say, I need to be top three or I need to be top two or something like that.
Yeah, for me, it's very important to stay healthy because, for example, this year I had again two operations on the head and I hope that this was the last one. And next year I really can concentrate on doing sport and doing what I love.
Yep. So over the last couple of years, how have you managed to keep yourself fit and sane? Because I imagine if motorcycling was such a big part of your life and you've not been able to do that, have you been able to do something else to keep yourself busy and active?
This is a good question. I think what helped was my family and friends, and especially my boyfriend. It's nice to have persons whom you can trust, and you need a person to speak that you're that it's mentally better to accept.
Yeah, okay. But you haven't taken up running or rowing or something, some other sport that's been where you've taken your passion and your focus, and now that's now the new thing that's dominating your life.
I do sports beside the trials, and I think this also helps to like to feel good. I have a coach with whom I do many sports, and I think this is important that you also have beside the trials something what you do and what you love.
So what's next? When is the first round of the German Championship, and what's the season start and end dates? What does it look like for you?
The German Championship starts in June, so quite late. We have some regional races which starts in March.
Okay. So that will be your first event. Are you planning on doing any of the things like the French 4-day or the 3-day Santa Goza or any of the other trials in Europe, or are you going to stay just pretty much in Germany?
I haven't planned such big events so far, so we will see.
Okay. And so what are you excited about? Are you excited to get back and see fellow competitors? Have you been able to stay in touch with them while you've been off?
I think I'm looking forward to get more the routine from before. And I remember before it was more fun to go to training and do some races. But in the moment, yeah, with Corona, with the health, there weren't so many races. So I missed it just to prepare for the race, do the race and have fun with the other competitors.
Yeah. So one of the things that I like to do on this podcast is I like to ask all our guests a standard set of questions. And it's generally to help, I think, newer riders to our sport maybe uncover some insight. So if it's okay, I'd like to ask you, what is one thing you wish you would have known before you started riding trials?
This is a difficult question. I would say just to do really what you love, only train as much as you want, and maybe also look that you have many possibilities, training with friends, other areas. This is also important, but don't forget, if you practice with your friends from trials, don't forget your friends at home. I think this is also very important.
Yeah, absolutely. What has been your biggest challenge? I think we might have discovered that in this conversation. And what did you learn from it?
Yeah, it was the biggest challenge was definitely the brain tumor in 2019. And I learned from it that there's more than only success in the sport, and there are more important things than only have success in the sport, like family and especially health is so important in life.
Yeah, so you definitely can't take your health for granted. Absolutely. What would be the advice you give to someone who was thinking of starting trials?
I would say just train as much as you can, especially things which you don't can. It's not necessary
to work
train
on your weaknesses. Don't just work on your strengths.
Yes, yep. And it's important to have a big network, like having friends, other coaches. The more coaches you have, the more things they will look.
I'm glad you said that because, yeah, one of the things that I've discovered in my journey into the sport has been what's made it, I think it helped accelerate my development, is having a group of people that I can ride with that, one, give me ideas of different things to try that I wouldn't have come up with myself, but can also observe me and tell me what I'm doing wrong and help me improve. I think that whether it's informal, just with some friends that'll happily tell you where you need to improve, or whether it's through structured coaching, it's that outsider looking in. I think that's what's helped me.
Yes. And it's important to not only to train with one person, with different person is always good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good advice. Is there some people in particular or some resources that have helped you along the way?
I think who helped a lot was Iris Krämer, now Iris Ölschlegel. She was champion, as many of you know. And when I was young, she was the organizer of the German Youth Academy. And yeah, she trained me a lot and she gave me so many advices. I think this was very good.
So that explains why you're so good. Excellent. We'll have to get Iris on the podcast at some point. I'd love to have a chat with her. What is one myth about trials that you think needs to be debunked?
I think it's the fact that some people say, you have a motor, you just have to turn the throttle and the rest, the motorbike will do itself. And this is not like this.
Absolutely. I laugh at the idea. Teresa, before we do depart, I imagine you do have some sponsors you probably want to thank.
Yes, I really have to thank all my sponsors, especially the Vertigo Team Germany. I will start for them again, and I'm really excited. And I have many partners more, and I just have to thank all my sponsors, and I have sponsors for many time, and I thank them so much.
Yeah, well said. Teresa, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for being on the Trials Australia podcast. Thank you for having the courage to talk about your injury and take us through what it's been like recovering. I can't wait to see you back out on the bike. And thank you for taking the time with our audience at Trials Australia podcast.
Yes, thank you for the invitation. I really enjoyed it. It was nice to be here.
Cheers. Thanks, Therese.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Trials Australia podcast. This episode was brought to you by Vertigo. Experience and passion define the basis of the Vertigo brand. Vertigo grew from an idea creating a bike to match the passion that existed within the team. Despite being the youngest of the Trials brands, they have now had years of consistent year-on-year growth and have proven themselves at the dizzying heights of Trial GP, at the harsh conditions of the Scottish Six-Day, and there is also a strong groundswell of representation around the globe amongst your everyday club riders. Vertigo set themselves apart by having the most technically advanced bike as well as the most customizable. Vertigo have made a significant announcement with the launch of their new Nitro models. Every few years, Vertigo do these updates, and the Nitro is a significant update for 2022. There is a new frame, new silencer design, new fuel tank, water pump, bash plate, rear brake system, and a redistribution of the electrical components. They'll be available around late November and early December, and prices will be $11,350 Australian for the 200, 250, and 300cc capacities. Please visit vertigoracing.com.au for all the details of the new model. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Links and show notes can be found at trials.com.au. There you'll find how to connect with us on all the various platforms. If you want to get in touch, you can also send us an email via podcast@trials.com.au. And if you like this show, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.